saved. I appreciate the invitation to be here in these days. And I do appreciate your kindness, hospitality toward us. I appreciate everything you've done to make our time here enjoyable. I appreciate the invitation Brother Colby extended to us to come and be here in this meeting this week. Appreciate the good place to stay, the night we stayed, and everything that you've done in any way, every act of kindness. Thank you for it. Appreciate your love gifts and offering, and I appreciate your prayers tonight. We're glad to see all of you that are here tonight. I realize there's many others from other places tonight. God bless every one of you for being here in the service. And I do covet your prayers that God would help me for just a few moments. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. The Bible said, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Right. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come.
Yes.
And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
Amen.
And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for life itself. Thank you for health and strength, having mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, calling me to preach. Thank you for this open door. I pray, God, tonight that you'd help me as I endeavor to preach. I pray for strength on my voice and on my body. I pray for strength in the inward man tonight. I pray for that unction and utterance that man must have in order to preach. I pray you'd help me tonight, Lord, to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. Use us as you see fit. Have mercy upon me and upon those that await my words tonight. And touch us that the Word of God may go forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. I pray you prepare the hearts to receive it. I pray you convict sinners of the need of you and draw them to you tonight. I pray you'd stir the saints. I pray, God, you wouldn't leave us like we've come. Don't leave us unchanged. But, Lord, do that eternal work in our hearts tonight. Do for us what we're not able even to do for ourselves. Have mercy and help us tonight. Speak to our hearts from the Word of God. Help me now, I pray. Call to my remembrance the Scriptures. Give me heavenly wisdom and spiritual insight tonight. Above everything tonight, get honor and glory under your high and holy name. God, help us, we pray tonight. Work your righteous will in every heart. May every one of us tonight be obedient to the Spirit of God. And Lord, heed your voice tonight and your call. And have your way among us. We'll thank and we'll praise you for what you do. In the name of Jesus, I do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. The Bible said in verse 30 of our text tonight, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Amen. I simply want to preach tonight a simple thought, and I'm sure you've heard many preach in, from this same text and probably use this same, my friend, message tonight, thought. But I simply want to preach tonight on keeping your eyes on Jesus. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Years ago, the song was written and sung. I know my wife's family, as well as many others in the late 60s and early 70s, sung that song, Keep Your Eyes on Jesus. When the tidal waves of trouble round you roll, keep your eyes on Jesus. He will come, my friend, the troubled waters that dash against your soul. I'm thankful tonight that we can look unto Him tonight.
Amen.
Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Peter's problem, Peter's sinking, my friend, was the result of him failing to keep his eyes on the Lord. And I understand tonight that in the literal sense, Peter, my friend, took his eyes off the Lord. But in our serving God, in our living for the Lord, sometimes we fail to keep our eyes on Him. That is, my friend, our faith becomes weak. Our faith becomes little. And it's in those hours that we will sink, my friend. Here the Bible tells us that Jesus comes to the disciples in the midst of the storm. The Bible said that Peter says, "Lord, if it's really You, bid me to come to You." And Jesus simply said, "Come." And the Bible said Peter came down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. He, my friend, had heard the voice of God, and he, my friend, had received faith when he heard the voice of the Lord, and he walked on the water. But it was when that he saw the boisterous winds that he got afraid. And it was at that point that he began to see. Can I say to us tonight, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus in the storm. Keep our eyes on Jesus in the storm. I say, friend, to you tonight, God help us. The storms will come. The contrary winds will blow. Oh, hear me, friend. The waves will dash against us. And if we're not careful, we'll look at the circumstance. And my friend, we'll see the situation instead of remembering the invitation of the Savior. It was the Lord that said to Simon Peter, "Come." I want to tell you, friend, if He invites you to come to Him, if He invites you, my friend, I got to come to where He's at, then my friend, I fix and focus your faith and your heart, I God, and your energies upon getting to where He's at. Oh, that's what Peter was doing. And in doing so, he literally walked on the water. He walked above his circumstances. He walked above, my friend, the troubling of the sea. But it was at that point when he took his eyes off the Lord, when he saw the boisterous wind. And the word boisterous simply means a forcible wind. I don't think he saw the wind. You can't see the wind. But he saw the effect of that forcible wind. And it caused him to forget what Jesus had said. Jesus had said, "Come." But my friend, when he saw the boisterous wind, when he took his eyes off the Lord, then friend, I remind you tonight, it was at that point that he began to sing. Oh, hear me, friend. I say to you tonight, the winds were blowing when he first walked on the water. There was no difference. They were just as contrary. The waves were just as high. He had walked on the water and to go to Jesus. The difference now was, wasn't the difference in the storm, wasn't the difference in the Savior, but it was the fact of my friend that he had took his eyes off of the Lord. Oh, hear me, friend. How can I go to Jesus in these boisterous winds? How can I get to Jesus out in these forcible, contrary winds? But thank God tonight, if he just fixed and focused his eyes on the Lord, he could have continued until he got there. Oh, tonight, we need in the midst of a storm how to keep our eyes on the Lord. I know it's difficult tonight. We're flesh. Surely Simon Peter, thank God, how much typifies all of us. I don't know if you can identify with this man or not. I do so many times. Hey, friend, and this Simon Peter that was so quick to speak out and often said the wrong thing. Thank God, he had a zeal
and a gung-ho attitude. But so many times, hey, God, we find him having to eat his word. Hey, friend, he was blessed because of what the Father revealed to him. But yet Jesus called him Satan. And when he said, get behind me, because you suffer not the thing that be of God. That's Simon Peter. I find myself being much like him. I find that my flesh is much like Simon Peter's flesh. But oh, tonight, I'm glad there is a possibility that I walk on the water tonight. And there is a possibility that I walk above your circumstances and your situations tonight. Hey, God, and you won't see unless you keep, hey, God, unless you take your eyes off of the Lord tonight. That was Peter's problem, amen. And beginning to see when he started going down, because he took his eyes off the Lord, because he saw the wind instead of remembering the voice of the Lord. Can I say to you tonight, if God wants you to draw nigh to him, if the Lord wants you to come where he's at, nothing can stop you tonight if you'll just focus on him. That's where, my friend, you start looking around, hey God, and seeing the impossibility of what you're doing that'll cause you to sink tonight. Amen. Hey God. But in that hour, when he began to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And the Bible said, immediately Jesus sent forth his hand and called him and said, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Amen.
I thought Peter had faith. It was just little faith.
Amen.
He had enough faith to get out of the boat. He had enough faith to walk part of the way on the water. It almost looks like to me that he got close. It almost looks like to me he's within reaching distance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, friend, he was almost to his side. He was almost walking beside him when he saw the boisterous winds. How many times do we have almost victory over our circumstances? But at the last moment, hey, God, we begin to see the boisterous winds, and it causes us to have that sinking feeling.
Amen.
In our lives. And so he cries, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, oh, thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? For what cause did you doubt? And the word doubt here simply means where two ways meet. And what happened to Simon Peter was, my God, when he got to the place where two ways met, he took his eyes off the Lord. There was a moment of hesitation. And in that moment of hesitation, he began to sink. Amen. As long as he, hey God, kept his eyes on the Lord, as long as he remembered the invitation to come, he was a walk into Jesus. But when he saw the boisterous winds, there was hesitation on his part. Hey friend, he got to a place where there were two ways. There was a fork in the road. Hey friend, and he took the wrong fork. Amen. God help us. Be sure it's God and go at it full blind. Hallelujah. Don't look back for anything. Just go with God. Too many of us, hey God, doubt because we get to a place where two ways meet. And instead of, hey God, hearing what God said, we begin to wonder, is it really going to be like he said? Or can we really overcome? Can we really walk on the water? Yes, we can. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of it tonight? I think of Elisha. And when Elijah put his mantle on him, and he knew what that meant, hey God, to follow the man of God and to be prophet in his room. Hey God, he burned all of his bridges. Hey, he wasn't going back and a plan with the oxen, thank God. He burnt the oxen. Hey God, he burnt the instruments. Hey God, there was no doubt. He made sure it was God and went all the way with him. Amen. I want to say tonight, if the Lord's saying for you to come first, I just like God, so I'll load up and go with him tonight. Hallelujah, thank God. You said it's impossible. I know it is from our vantage point. And it's impossible for Peter to walk on the water too. But the Lord said come. And thank God it's his word. Thank God he'll make all the difference.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Whoever thought about a soul of being delivered from hell and staying forever. Whoever thought about an individual, hey God, am I, hey God, being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son? Whoever thought about somebody getting off the road booth and onto the narrow way? Whoever thought about somebody standing as a condemned, guilty sinner and yet, hey God, becoming justified, hey God, in the eyes of God and being declared a saint? Amen. You say that's impossible. It is. But he said, come. Hallelujah. And let us reason together. Though your sins be as dark, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad. Though our sins are double dyed, amen. Thank God, though the sin has been set in them, that's what that means. Hallelujah. Thank God, I'm glad when he gets through watching us, I'm glad when he gets through cleansing us, he gets out of that set in thing. Hallelujah.
And let's just as white as snow.
Oh, tonight, thank God. I wonder if you're a place where two ways meet. Thank God, don't hesitate. Just remember what Jesus said. Just remember what the Lord said. And keep on following him tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Or don't take your eyes off of Jesus himself.
Right. Bless you more.
Right. Amen. Amen. Pretty easy to do. How to watch the storm instead of the Savior.
Sure.
How pretty easy to see the wind. Thank God. And forget his words. Hello. But you see what he says? Thank God, the wind and the waves have no bearing on his invitation. It doesn't change his word. Hello. Oh, my word and your word. Thank God, can be hindered by situation and circumstance. Thank God, sometimes we can try our best to fulfill and keep our word, but something may greater than us may hinder it. But when he says it, hallelujah, it doesn't matter what comes up again or after he says come. Thank God, nothing can stop his word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like that, don't you?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
And so keep your eyes on Jesus in the storm. Secondly tonight, may I preach to you that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus in the striving.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 12 tonight, the Bible said in verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God to the Hebrew. Thank God the apostle wrote and said, you've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's a striving against sin. Those that have been blood bought, saved by grace, then there becomes a striving. Amen.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, there's a lot of strivings, what we're saying. Amen. Sure there is. According to 1 Corinthians 9:25, thank God, we strive for the mastery. Or we strive for an incorruptible crown. The Bible said, according to, thank God, Philippians 1 and verse 27, we strive for the faith of the gospel. Amen. And then Hebrews 12 said, we strive against sin. Once we're saved by God's grace, then there becomes a striving against sin. I believe, first of all, it's a striving against the sin that dwells in our members. Somebody said, I don't think that's so. Well, it is so. Thank God. There's a law in your members tonight that fights against the law of God and would bring you into bondage and would bring you back to where you used to be. Thank God. But I'm glad because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost, you're able to resist and to strive against sin.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, will I ever reach a point that I will not strive? Amen. As some would tell us, there is a second work of grace called sanctification. Thank God, that would, if you ever experienced that, that it would take care of that striving against sin. But I don't think it's nowhere in the scripture that he teaches that there's a second work of grace. Thank God that would, my friend, and do away with this outward man. Hallelujah.
Oh,
amen.
Right.
Thank God. Now, can I say to you tonight? Thank God, the Lord. And my friend, when He saved us, thank God, I reckoned our body to be dead. Thank God, declared it dead. Hallelujah. Because of sin. Thank God, when we have life, because of the righteousness of Christ. And now He's committed to us that same body. Thank God, that He reckoned to be dead and said, you make it dead. Are you mortified?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank God. That's His name. And there's a constant striving against sin. Paul said, I died daily. Thank God. Oh, this flesh always wants to rise up. You put him down today, he'll get up tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. But just say to him, the book said, and the blood said, and the Lord said, you're dead. So die. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. And so there's the scribe. An elderly preacher over from where I'm from. He was above 90 years old. And a young preacher said to him, preacher, I want you to help me if you can. I'm a young preacher, a young Christian. And I said, I want you to test. I want you to tell me, at what age do you get to the place that you don't have trouble with the flesh? And the 90-plus-year-old preacher scratched his head, rubbed his chin, and said to the young man, I don't know, son. You have to ask somebody older than I am. Here he is above 90, pushing 100. And he is saying to that young preacher, I'm still striving against sin that's in my members. I'm just still battling the flesh. Now, I do say, thank God, you can learn to walk in victory. Thank God. And it not have such a hold on you. Amen. And know it more easily. Thank God, and be able to follow more closely unto the Lord. But there will always be that striving against sin. And the apostle said unto the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, he said, now in that striving, look unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus in the striving. Why? Because if you don't, amen, you'll become weary and faint in your minds. Oh, but you compass with so great a cloud of witness, so lay aside the weight of every weight and be still. That particular sin that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Look at the cloud of witnesses. Amen. Look at them striving against the flesh. Look at them striving against him. I don't let it be a cloud to compass you about. But when you look at them and see they can't get no help, fix your eyes on Jesus. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he's the author and the finisher of your faith.
Hallelujah.
Bless his name. So there's the striving with sin in our own members. And there's the striving of sin that's in this world. Hallelujah. Somebody said it's easy to be a Christian. Oh, I wonder where you've been lately. Hallelujah. And it's better than the old life. I thought. And I live according to the course of this world, the prince of power, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience when I've been saved. Thank God, I revel and run with the world. Since I've been saved, I've been fighting upstream. Hallelujah. Hey, but there ain't nothing easy about it. Hallelujah. Thank God, you can't go against the grain and it be easy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bob Harrison was crazy when he said it's fun being saved. There ain't no fun in it, but it's full of joy. Fun's what you have at a picnic. Fun's what you have at a ball game. Fun's what you have down to roll rink. Thank God. But joy is what you have serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, thank God. And it's always been fun. I just got to do what is right. And to face, thank God, an antagonistic crowd. But thank God there's been joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What's his name? There's a striving against him. Hey, hallelujah. Can I say to you today, if there's one thing I see in the church that you and I are a part of tonight, thank God, it's that complacency. It's that self-satisfaction. It's so that we've got to that place that we don't fight it no more.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, but oh, the Bible said, consider Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus when you're striving. Hallelujah. For he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. How did he endure? How did he keep striving? How did he get the victory? How did he overcome? Oh, he saw the joy that was set down before him. And he endured the cross and despised the shame. And if you look at him and how he finished and how he overcome, you can be an overcomer tonight. You can win the victory, you see.
Amen.
And if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll become weary and faint in your mind.
Amen.
Amen.
Stay on, preacher.
Amen. I'll tell you, the battle is won and lost in the mind.
Amen.
Not in the heart.
Amen.
Not in the spirit. It's in the mind.
Amen.
It's a mind game.
Yes.
That's the battleground. That's where Satan has access. It's our mind. But if we'll have a scripture mind, a sober mind, a sound mind, thank God, hallelujah. Oh, a settled mind, how we can overcome the things that Satan would throw at us. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, that's the purpose of preaching. That's the purpose of meeting. That's the purpose of a church. Thank God. How to get our minds in line with what the Bible says. Hallelujah. My mind is subject to think anything.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Don't you grin at me tonight, yours is too.
Right.
Hallelujah. You can shout your head off tonight, and before you get home, be full of some hellish, devilish thoughts in your mind.
Amen.
Does that mean you're lost? Does that mean God never, and what you experienced a few moments ago ain't real? No. It just means you're still in the flesh, and Satan has access to your mind. Oh, thank God. And it's not a sin to have wicked thoughts, but it's a sin to let them, thank God, control you. Thank God. And linger on in you. Thank God. Somebody said, what do you do with them? Put them down. Cast them down. Imagination. And every thought that opposes and exalted itself against the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, it'll come back. I know it will. But put her down again. Somebody said, it keeps coming back. Keep pulling her down. Keep casting her down. And every time you do it, it'll get easier the next time. And there'll be a longer space of time before it'll come into your mind again. Hallelujah. That's right. After a while, thank God, they'll stay away for a long time. Thank God, and you invade your mind in prayer and the scriptures, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. And be a fortress against the next thing.
Yes, sir.
That Satan will bring against you.
Yes, sir.
I'll take it for tonight.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
It's keeping our eyes on Him.
Amen.
In the storm, in the strife. Let me say next, keep your eyes on him and the scourging.
Uh-huh.
That's verse 6. Well, let's just tie it in with verse 5. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaking of you as the children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Nor faint when thou rebukest him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
Right.
Every son that is received. Discouraged.
Amen.
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 But in the scourging, keep your eyes on Him.
Amen.
Don't become weary and faint in your minds.
Yeah.
Why? For if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?
Right.
If you are without chastisement, where of all the partakers, then are you bastards and not sons.
Yeah.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father and spirits and live? For they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his home. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but rather grievous. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Don't get weary in faith and discouraging. Hey, that's just proof God loves you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I want to say this different type of chastisement. There is the chastening hand of God that is to correct us when we've done wrong.
Right.
But there is the scourging hand of God simply to make us partakers of His holiness.
Right.
It's simply to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Right.
And you don't understand why. Thank God. Oh, no. No. I will say this tonight about it. If God chastens you for wrong, He'll be sure to tell you why He is doing it. Well, I'm trying to finish up here. Listen to me just a moment. Now, I want to say as a parent, when you discipline your children, y'all do believe in discipline,
amen.
Of course. Corporate punishment, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My God. Now, let me say, first of all, be a good example.
Right.
And don't let corporate punishment or discipline be your first means.
Right.
Let it be your life.
Right.
But when it is your life, thank God, make sure they understand that you mean business.
Amen.
Don't promise them you're going to whoop them 1,500 times and never do it. You're ruining them.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said that Dr. Spock didn't write that in his book. Yeah, but God wrote it in his.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Hey, hear me, friend. And, of course, I've seen folk, and they'd, child maybe do something in life, and they'd pop the child or hit the child, thank God, and they'd never tell the child what they were doing. Well, you'd be better off not to ever touch them.
Amen.
When they do wrong, and you discipline for them, explain it to them why you're doing it, and why you have to correct them, and that that is behavior that is not acceptable.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's exactly right. Amen. Don't explain it to them. Just quit and leave it off. Amen. They'll be better off. Or if you just pop them and hit them, I ain't got all the time. I never explain it to them. I ain't got you to make a heathen out of it. God help us tonight. Amen. I believe when God chastens us for wrongdoing, He'll inform us what it is that we've done wrong so we can get it right.
Yes, sir.
But there is that chastening and that scourging that God lays on our life. Hey, friend, not for wrongdoing, but so we can be partakers of His holiness. Are y'all hearing me tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's that humbling of us. Thank God. Amen. It's that doing away with this outward man. Thank God. I can perfect what's lacking in us. Hey, friend. Thank God. Endure it. Don't go find Him back. Thank God. Don't give up in that. Keep looking unto Him. Remember, He's not doing it for His pleasure. He's doing it for your profit.
Amen.
You may not understand it tonight. You may not understand it tomorrow. But there'll be a day.
Yes, sir.
You'll just
right.
Keep looking unto Him and endure it.
That's right.
And not grow faint while it's happening.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But He'll say, I wanted to bring you through this particular place in your life. I wanted to mold and fashion you. I ain't going to put you in the melting pot in the furnace of affliction. And now I've got you tempered like I want you.
Yes.
Hey, God, I'm going to use you now. Hallelujah.
Yes,
yes
sir.
Well, well, keep looking unto Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. I started to say y'all blew me off, but I reckon this is my last night for this week. Amen. But quit saying every time something that's against what you want it to be in your way. Quit saying it's the devil.
That's right. That's right.
I know the devil does do things and hinders us. And he does, my friends, get in our path. But I'm telling you, there's a God.
Amen.
That deliberately and purposely, thank God, stirs and chastens us.
Yes. Amen.
Thank God, endure what God's been doing in your life. Come on. Let it humble you. Don't fight because of it. Don't feel like he's mistreating you. Oh. When you're crying, everybody else is a shout. Hey, when you're sick, everybody else is weak. Don't get mad at God. He's just working his grace in you. He's just tasting. He's just taking you to the place. And it gets you where he can use you for his
glory.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I do believe that is right. And so we're to be in subjection of this Father of spirits and lead them. And we're not to faint when we're rebuked of him. Hallelujah. Bless his name. But we're to keep our eyes on him. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's doing it for our good.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Wasn't that what Joseph said?
Right.
You meant it to me for evil. But God
Amen.
Meant it to me for good.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. God made them fellas do that. I don't think God made them do it. God knew they would do it.
Yeah.
And God took their evil designs to get Joseph to Egypt.
That's
right. Joseph would never went to Egypt. He had never left the father's house. He had it too good.
Yeah.
Hey, he never left Jacob's table. He didn't fed too good. Had that coat of many colors. He was a favorite. He wasn't left. Hallelujah. But he is forced to leave. He is sold into slavery. Hey, friend. My God. And he wound up down in Egypt as a slave and bought it, Potiphar. By Potiphar, I caught it right over that woman and put in the prison house and forgot by the butler. Amen. He never volunteered to went through that hurt and that sorrow. But God put him through. Hey, and Job said, when he's trying it, I'll come forth like Job. God done it. So one day, he could promote Joseph as a prime minister of Egypt, but he had to put him through the pit, and he had to put him through Potiphar's house, and he had to put him through the prison before he could ever put him in the palace. Just keep looking to him tonight, and he'll get you where he wants you tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. I like it.
Yeah.
Looking unto Jesus in the storm, in the striving, in the scourging, and then one last point, we'll go to the house. Looking unto Jesus, or keeping your eyes on Jesus in the storm, the striving, the scourging. And in Acts 7:55, looking unto Jesus, or keeping your eyes on Jesus in the stoning. Here's a man named Stephen, one of the first deacons of the New Testament church. In that original seven, man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said. From good report. Preached a wonderful sermon. I like it. You know what? If you stop in verse 50 of Acts chapter 7, they all said amen. All he done was give the history of the nation of Israel. Amen. He quoted verse 50 and said, "Hath not my hand made all these things," speaking of God. If he'd stopped there, been good shape.
Yes, sir.
My preacher friend Timothy says, what's wrong with the modern day preacher of today? It's not what he's saying. It's not what he's saying. It's what he's not saying. That's the problem. Just don't go far enough. Amen. Stop too short. Amen. Stephen in trouble was when verse 51, when he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised at heart, and ears you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as did your fathers." And what good is it for y'all to shout up the sepulchres that your fathers, hey, God stoned them prophets and put them in. Hey, friends, and it cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him in their teeth. And they put him outside the city and stoned him, calling on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes. What do you do in the stone? I'll tell you what Stephen did. He looked up into heaven, and at the right hand of God saw Jesus, and he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand.
Stone if you want to.
Go ahead and ask. I God, are your teeth against me? Talk against me. Snap up your ears. Kill me if you want to. But I'm seeing Jesus. Well, you can endure contradiction of sinners against yourself when you keep your eyes on him.
Amen.
Bless his name.
Yes.
By the way, suffering, thank God, suffering of Jesus as the Messiah, thank God, what his disciples couldn't understand was his suffering. They couldn't understand his glory. They wanted him to enter into his glory, but they couldn't understand his suffering. But he said, it was needs be that the Son of Man suffer these things, then enter into his glory. Suffering was a proof of his being a Messiah, not an objection against it. I'm suffering for the child of God. It's not an objection against him being a son, but it's proof that he is a son.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. And if Jesus suffered in the flesh, arm yourself.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. It'll happen to you in the same like manner. How can the bad preacher, thank God, when the stones are falling and the accusations are coming and the railings come against us, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Charles Rowland wrote the song years ago. He'll roll you over the tide. Thank God. Keep your eyes on him. Thank God, and you can, my friend, endure the stones, amen. Bless his name, man.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Eyes on him tonight. Stephen's was. Oh, are you him describing a scourging tonight? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Are you in the storm tonight? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. I tell you what Hebrews 11:27 said about Moses. He endured seeing him who was invisible. Amen. He endured seeing him who was invisible. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Hey God. I'm seeing something that the world ain't seeing.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Whom not, who having not seen you love. Hallelujah. And you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I hadn't seen him, Brother Rayford, with his natural eyes. Thank God. But I've done seen him by the eye of faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm looking to him tonight.
Yeah.
Thank God. And Job said one day, I shall behold him.
Yeah.
And when I see him, I'll see him for myself.
Yeah.
And not another.
Yeah.
Yeah, the skin worms may devour their flesh. I thank God I'm going to see him with these eyes. Yeah, faith is going to end in sight. I don't walk by sight, but I don't walk by faith. And I'm enduring seeing him that's invisible. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can see him that can't be seen tonight. I got to the high of faith. And one day faith will change over the sight. And I'll see him as he is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Keeping your eyes on him. Now I'm telling you. I understand the office of a pastor, the office of a bishop, and the office of the under shepherd. He's the example of the flock, and we're to follow him as he follows the Lord. But if all you do is focus your eyes on the preacher, you're in sad shape. Oh yes, focus on him as the under shepherd, but realize he's the under shepherd.
That's right.
Thank God. Amen. Have confidence in him. Put trust in him. If he steps out of that Bible, if he steps out of the Word of God, thank God, forget what he said and go to that book.
Amen. Amen.
If he ain't got book, thank God, I'm my friend stepping aside from you, better watch your seat.
Amen.
Oh yes, the shepherd's looking at me these days. So.
Oh, you're right.
Hallelujah.
Hey, God. I want to tell you, don't just look to Sister So-and-so in the church, Brother So-and-so in the church. Hey, God, you better fix your eyes on him. Hey, God. They may fall, they may mess up, but thank God. If you'll fix your eyes on him, you can get through the storm. You can get through the silence. Hey, thank God. You can get through the scourge that you can withstand the stone. Just keep your eyes on him tonight.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Well, we're standing out. I'm through with you. Where's your eyes tonight? Are you fixed on him tonight? You need to pray you come tonight. Maybe you're in a storm.
All at once, the great position that's been to.